Greg. Good morning, Christians. Not Vietnam. Christians. Sunny June day here in Milwaukee. I hope the sun is shining on you out there. Tom, Dennis, and Greg, and Chris. Our topic today is living in the light of heaven. Now we are now at about we are at the end of the study of heaven by Randy Alcorn. And we have a few more weeks still ahead of us. I know Roger's got a piece and some excellent topics about heaven and various religions looking at their view of that. So that's ahead of us for another few weeks. And I'm looking forward to that. But this is kind of the culmination, kind of a wrap up of Randy Alcorn's wonderful book on heaven. So, but first, a dramatic reading. You'll know this reading. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. A little later, toward the end, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Ha ha! I have for a long, long, long time viewed the words walk through the valley of the shadow of death as living with the fear of death before me. That's how I viewed it. This is our human condition. I want you to think back way back to what was your first experience, your memory of death. Can you remember it?
Yeah.
Well, for me, it was my grandfather Newell. We called him Pop. And I was about 8 years old. He and grandma had gone down to Florida for his health. It turns out he had a weakening heart and he wasn't there probably even a whole year when he died. And they came back, there was a funeral, and I didn't get it. What do you mean he's gone? What, death? When is he coming back? And I remember crying and tears and sadness. And I came away with that as I don't know about death, but this isn't good. This isn't good. This is bad. And of course, that learning has just continued and increased as we've gone through lives. I'll bet many of you have had something similar to this in your own lives as a young person, a beloved family member has passed away and is devastating. And look at how we look on death in this culture of ours. It's a fearful thing. It's a nothingness. It's devastating. The end of all things, the loss, loneliness. This is forever. Nothingness, forever. Oh, you want to avoid this at all costs. You want to hang on to life. Keep those machines running. Live as if there's no tomorrow. Grab the gusto. And this is our cultural view, but we Christians, we have a different look at things. And I'm just so very pleased to have gone through Randy Alcorn's book on heaven. It has been an astonishing change of viewpoint for me. And I think maybe for some others here who've been going through in this study. This has completely turned me around. Death? Something I can look forward to. No? A necessary step that each of us who believe in Jesus need to go through to go to him. That might be a little jarring for some of us here. That's okay. So we've been blessed to study heaven by the Reverend Dr. Professor Alcorn. He has taken past scholarly work in his effort here. Most particularly, he is grounded in scripture and expanded what he has learned into meanings that we could take forward with some degree of confidence and take these understandings that he's given us and that we can look forward to going to heaven with great anticipation. Oh boy, it's going to be wonderful there. You got to love this guy. Randy Alcorn quotes Jonathan Edwards. You know, that great theologian of the 1600s, he lived from 1703 to 1758. And he quotes Jonathan Edwards in Edwards' sermons, and it brings out that, wow, this guy was on target. Also, he quotes Charles Spurgeon, that lion of Christianity and evangelism in Great Britain in the 1800s. He lived not a long life from 1820s and passed away in the early 1890s. But he was the rock star evangelist of his day. He was the Billy Graham of his day. He filled stadiums. He had an exact count of 23,000 people going in to hear one of his sermons. And I've been blessed by Pam Frank, who let me choose some of her books so that Randy had left behind. And as I read through We Shall See God, Charles Spurgeon's devotional thoughts, Randy Alcorn edited into a devotional some of Charles Spurgeon's comments on heaven. And boy, do I see a lot of Spurgeon in this book by Randy Alcorn. And Randy Alcorn quotes C.S. Lewis, and the most. He is the largest number of quotations from C.S. Lewis, but also J.I. Packer, A.W. Tozer, John Piper. We're looking at some of the finest authors in the evangelical writings. And I did a rough count. There's over 900 citations of scripture. So that as you read this book, you can, with a loving heart, but a critical mind, examine what Randy Alcorn is talking about and where he is coming from, and check it out for yourself. The Holy Spirit's in charge of every one of us in our growing. And this has been a fabulous study for me because it's really made a change in how I view how I view my future, because there was a time before when I would look, oh, another day, oh, closer to death. Now, or now, oh boy, I'm one day closer to going to heaven. Oh boy. And we've touched briefly as we've gone through this study on things like the nature of the present heaven and the future heaven, why resurrection is so important. And what a restored earth might look like, and what a restored me will look like. It's really brought out for me that we will be with our Lord Jesus and God. Oh boy. How can we not be looking forward to that? And it's covered many other topics that come to mind about, well, what's it going to be like? Well, he covers these, eating, drinking, working, relationships with others in a heavenly culture. Today's topic is living in the light of heaven. So how should we live with heaven ahead of us? Should we live? Maybe we should hurry forward to get there. If it's so great and we know from the word, it's going to be great. Maybe we should get there now, right now. To quote a famous playwright, to be or not to be? Ah, that is the question. We have a great question to answer today on number two. Chris, another excellent job on questions. Number two, in chapter 46, page 468, Elkhorn has a section entitled A Word to the Depressed. This is an important section. It's a good question to address in our groups. But there's a larger issue around suicide. And it could be from depression. It could be from just great sadness from loss of a beloved one. It could be from infirmity, just difficulties of life. And should we hurry our way forward to get to heaven? Or should we not? And this is a serious question and is not easily answered by a glib bumper sticker kind of answer. Well, what does scripture say about this? Our apostle Paul touches on this, and let's just take a look. And these references I've gotten out of Randy Elkhorn's book and Charles Spurgeon's. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. You got your Bibles? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6, and let's see, I think also 8. This is the New International Version. Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. Verse 8, we are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. And it goes on. Now let's just turn up a few more pages to Philippians. Chapter 1. I went dyslexic there. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 21, and it's going to go on for a few more. You ready? Okay. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and your joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Jesus Christ will overflow on account of me. So here's our answer. And what an answer. I say Paul nails it. Do you see in this answer the great commands Jesus tells us? Love God with all your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength. He wants to be with Jesus, God, in heaven. He wants to be there. But no, he loves people because it's his duty, his commandment, his work to stay. And remain and continue with all of you for your progress in Jesus, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of you. Paul has work to do. The Holy Spirit is guiding him. Man. What did Paul go through in doing this work? He's gone through shipwrecks. He's been bitten by snakes, beaten and whipped and stoned and held in ridicule, drawn up before magistrates, and still he works forward. Loves God. But he's going forward because he loves people. And so should we. We've got work to do. God will call him home on God's good timing. And when Paul's work, he kept going until he couldn't. And so how about us? How are we doing? And I don't mean this in any sort of judgmental way. How are you doing in your walk is a rhetorical question that you bring before God in prayer and attend to that still small voice and stepping into work he has for you. So like Paul, no stopping, keeping going. And how do we live in the light of heaven? Again, let's go to scripture. I'm now in John chapter 14, that wonderful chapter. And I'm going to go to chapter 14, verse 15. But I'm sorry, it's right next to these verses where Jesus says, and I'm sorry, this is a little rabbit hole, but it's right next to what I'm going to read to you. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I have to read this because it's right there, right next to what I wanted. And I can't help but marvel over Jesus. Verse 15, if you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Dropping down to 21, whoever has my commands and obeys them, He is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. And so what are Jesus' commands? Well, the first and foremost is love God with all your heart and your soul and your mind, your body, your strength, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Basically, and my final point here, because I want to have a lot of time to answer these wonderful questions. What are Jesus' commands? New Testament. All of it. The hard parts, sublime parts, the uplifting, the personally troubling parts. So, how do we live in the light of heaven? Well, some wonderful questions here. Let's get after it, guys. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, David.